Lars Larson here. Join me weeknights at 6 on Talk Radio 570 KBI.
You got 25 minutes to 9 o'clock here. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. You know, being a U.S. Senator is a pretty heady job. I mean, it's a great title, and you're treated like political royalty, and you go travel the world and talk to the President of the United States and other senators and governors, and powerful people want to get an appointment with you. Walking away from that isn't easy unless you didn't want the job because you wanted all those perks in the first place, but instead believed it was a means to an end. One man who did walk away after a very successful career in Congress from the U.S. Senate was Jim DeMint, and it was to take maybe one of the most important research jobs in the country, and that is head of the Heritage Foundation. And he's in town today. He's in our studio right here. Jim DeMint, so good to have you here.
John, it's great to be in the studio. It's great to be in Seattle.
And you're here for a lunch today, Freedom Foundation lunch.
Freedom Foundation. I was with Women of Washington last night. I met with the
Washington great?
Policy Council yesterday. A lot of those groups you're very involved with. But it's good to know there are a lot of conservatives here in Washington.
Washington Policy Center, Women of Washington, and the Freedom Foundation have longstanding reputations for great work, activism, and the like. And so do you. And one of the reasons I've become such an admirer of yours over the years is because clearly, you know, you're in politics not to be something, but to do something. And you understood that if Republicans are going to have any kind of return, any momentum to regain what they had years before, it's with the power of ideas and ideas that are rooted in principle. Getting away from K Street, getting away from donor-driven politics.
Exactly right, John. The principles that made this country strong are really so unique, and a lot of people have forgotten them. America's a ground-up country built by individuals, families, communities. It was not built from the top down from Washington, D.C. And that's why I've been traveling the country a lot, partnering with groups like we've talked about here in Seattle, because I really believe those little platoons, as Burke talked about, are what can rebuild the country. The best idea right now going in Washington is to move back to this concept of federalism. That doesn't mean more federal government. It means less. It means letting the states have more autonomy with their health care, with their education. And so we see that movement all over the country. And Heritage has the opportunity to change more about what's going on in Washington by working around the country than by working on Capitol Hill. And I know that because I've worked both places. And if we're going to change our country, if we're going to save our country, it's going to be when the American people get engaged.
Why were you getting frustrated in the U.S. Senate?
Well, certainly being in the Senate is an opportunity to get things done. But the things that I got done that I was proudest of were outside of Washington. When I went against my own party to try to help elect or Rand Paul or Marco Rubio or Pat Toomey, Mike Lee, and to do that, I had to work with people, Tea Party groups, local Republicans, independent groups.
You ran against the grain of your own party.
I couldn't do that from within. I had to go outside. So I really realized in doing that it did not take the K Street or a lot of money. It just took the right ideas with the right candidates and getting people engaged in the process. And I do find that people get more passionate about a candidate who really believes something and is willing to stand up for the right ideas rather than just play along with the system.
Now, the good news for Republicans is that the president's popularity is at a 2-year low, and he's now out giving a series of speeches on the economy. I call it the distraction tour, the summer of 2013. And the bad news for Republicans is that Congress is even less popular.
Yeah.
And that doesn't surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all, because looking from the outside in, it's hard to see what anyone stands for there. It just seems like it's come to a standstill. It is difficult because there are polar opposite worldviews inside of Congress. It goes back to what I started with, is we know that America is a ground-up country that's really built around individuals and a lot of individual freedom, individual decision-making. But the Democrats are now totally bought into the European concept of top-down, centralized planning, and everything they bring up is more government, more spending, more debt. So it's hard to find common ground there. So we have got to get the people of America engaged with the situation so that it'll pull politics in the right direction. I don't think the leadership's going to come out of Washington. The leadership's going to come from around America. So that's what I want to be a part of, because I'm still very optimistic, because as I travel around America, I find most people, even people who don't vote Republican, are with us on the ideas. They're just sick and tired of politics.
I wanted to ask you about the stories in the front page Seattle Times today. It gives you an idea of how twisted values have become in this country. There is a farm worker strike going on up north about 50 miles in Skagit County. The strike is being conducted by workers, many of whom are here illegally.
Right.
Because they're upset that their employer, the farm, is hiring guest workers legally,
right,
through the federal government's H-2A program. So you have largely illegal immigrants doing farm work who are on strike and organizing politically to try and block their employer from bringing in legal workers.
Well, it goes back to this immigration bill, and the illegals are already very organized by unions. Unions like illegal workers more than guest workers. Guest workers don't tend to join unions. They don't tend to vote because they're not citizens. But illegals are, if you can make them legal voting citizens, it changes the political dynamic, and of course it helps the unions as well.
You saw the poll, I take it. 8-1 ratio. Illegal immigrants were polled. 8-1, they favor Democrats over Republicans.
Well, we know that. If any Republican who thinks passing an amnesty bill is going to get them votes, it's just very foolish. We need an immigration system that helps Americans, raises their income, improves their quality of life and their future. This amnesty bill does the exact opposite of that. What it's going to do is empower these people you're talking about who already feel entitled, already are getting benefits, and will get more in the future. We need to do it the legal way. But farmers need workers. And to do that, we need to expand the guest worker program in some cases, but we also need to reform welfare so more Americans will have to work rather than get $30 an hour on welfare every month. So
explain that for people. Break that down for
Well, the average American makes about $20 an hour. The average person on welfare with full benefits is around $30 an hour. So to move someone from welfare to work is very difficult because it's a lower standard of living, and they lose their benefits quicker than they increase their salary. So we say Americans won't do the job. Of course they won't. If they were not going to pick peaches in South Carolina in July when it's 100 degrees, when they can make more money not doing anything. So we've got a system now, and it's been very intentional by the Democrats. Obama has doubled the amount we're spending on food stamps in 4 years. We now have 1 in 7, sometimes 1 in 6 Americans on food stamps. They're advertising in Spanish and English all over the country to encourage people to get on food stamps as a patriotic duty. And
it's
incredible.
You know, that is not I used to get very angry now I just get depressed. I said, is our government's values so upside down that they now view progress as not how few Americans are on food stamps, but how many?
They do. They see it as a way to stimulate the economy, redistribute income, and gain votes. Because a voter who is dependent on the government is a dependable vote for the Democrat. So expanding the welfare state is a political strategy by the Democrats. But it hurts our country. And it keeps people from working. We've got the lowest participation of our workforce now in over 30 years. And folks who think bringing illegals into the workforce more openly is going to improve our economy are fooling themselves. So this immigration bill is a huge problem. I'm concerned about what the House is doing, because even if they pass a good bill and it goes to conference with the Senate bill,
it comes out a bad bill.
It comes out with amnesty. And I just think if we do another amnesty in 10 years, we'll have to do another, and we'll build our whole future population on a mix of folks like you just talked about who feel entitled and don't want a legal system.
You know, it's well, and you're well aware of this, I know, Jim. Again, if you're just joining me, Jim DeMint, head of the Heritage Foundation, former United States Senator from the great state of South Carolina, home of the Boeing 787.
Sorry about that.
One of those assembly lines. One of our two assembly lines. Anyway, the unfortunate reality we have is that illegal immigration the way to defeat the illegal immigration bill is to simply call it an amnesty bill.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, and an amnesty means more illegal workers coming here.
Right.
That's what happened with Simpson Mazzoli, as you know.
Well, if you help people understand what the bill really says, and it is an amnesty, people get legal residence right away, and that's never going to change. To call it temporary is very misleading. But if you state it another way, a pathway to citizenship, people tend to get confused and be more supportive. But we know if people know what's in this bill, they don't like it. They prefer a step-by-step approach where we fix our borders, we fix our system where farmers and hotel operators can get the temporary workers they need in different seasons, and we can get high-tech visas for Silicon Valley where we don't have enough Americans. But we will have enough Americans if we fix our welfare system and we fix our education system so that Americans can be competitive. So I don't want to concede that we have to have foreigners in order to run our economy. But over time, if we do it the right way, we'll bring people here who can improve our quality of life and our opportunities. But you're not going to do it through this crazy political strategy. Okay, we're going to give another amnesty when even the best estimates say in a few years we're going to have millions more.
Right.
And we'll have to do the exact same thing again.
You can use
their numbers
to defeat their bill.
Millions more are going to come.
It's 13 minutes to 9 o'clock. My guest, Jim DeMint, the head of the Heritage Foundation, a real privilege and honor to host him here on KVI here this morning. Stick around a few more minutes if you can, Jim. I want to ask you about legal immigration in just a moment.
A liberal dose of conservatism. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Again, if you're just joining me, Jim DeMint, head of the Heritage Foundation, former United States Senator from the great state of South Carolina, home of the Boeing 787.
Sorry about that.
One of those assembly lines. One of our two assembly lines. And here we are, John Carlson. It is 9 minutes to 9 o'clock on Talk Radio 570 KVI. My guest is Jim DeMint, former U.S. Senator from South Carolina, now the president of the Heritage Foundation, stepped down from the Senate to take the job at Heritage, surprised a lot of people, filling some very deep shoes there. Ed Fulner had led Heritage for the better part of 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a stellar job. He's in town today at a luncheon for the Freedom Foundation at the SeaTac Hilton. I want you to hear this clip from Mike Lee, one of the guys you got elected to the United States Senate. He has a plan to shut down Obamacare with a vote on the continuing resolution. If you have some headphones there, put them on real quickly. I want you to hear this this clip.
This movement is going to continue to build because the American people understand the president's not following the law. The American people shouldn't be required to fund it.
He says the last chance to stop Obamacare, short of repealing it outright with new majorities in Congress and a new president, the last chance to stop funding it is this fall. And he says they should right up to a government shutdown if necessary to say no more Obamacare.
Well, Mike's exactly right. He's one of the most genuine, smartest, courageous members of the United States Senate right now. He knows the Constitution backwards and forwards. But he's exactly right. If Republicans don't draw a line in the sand and cut off funding, and they can cut off funding, because the House has to pass all the funding bills, and if they pass the funding bills for the government and it doesn't include Obamacare, then the Senate and the president will have to decide whether they want to shut the government down. Now, they will count on blaming Republicans for shutting the government down. But if we do our job right as conservatives and help people understand that the Republicans have passed a funding bill for the government that doesn't include Obamacare, this is the last chance, because we're not going to pass a repeal with Obama in the White House. And so that means the Obamacare will be fully implemented if we don't defund it this year. So the president's clearly not following the law. He realizes it's not working. The Democrats are calling it a train wreck. But they're going to go ahead with it, John, because as it falls apart, they're going to call for a single-payer system for government control of health care in its entirety. So I'm just hoping that Republicans will go ahead, take the risk, draw the line in the sand, and fund the government, but do not fund Obamacare.
You know, looking at Obamacare, do you think that it's going to collapse?
Well, they're going to keep throwing money into it. And so, I think it's going to technically it will collapse, but they won't let it die. I mean, government programs all over the place are wasteful, ineffective, and we keep them going. So we should not count on this thing going away. They'll keep throwing money at it, even though it's collapsing, and then they'll say we're not spending enough and it needs to be a single-payer system, which is what Obama said he wanted in the first place. This is a step towards a single-payer system, and as it becomes completely dysfunctional, that's going to be the call of the left. We're working with governors, states all over the country to put together alternatives. I'm very thankful for the states that have turned down the expansion of Medicaid and turned down all that money that they're being promised, and they're trying to create alternatives. So hopefully when this thing collapses, we'll look at states and see that there are states that can do this a better way.
And even more states that have not set up the exchanges.
Right, exactly. So this will hurt American health care. It'll hurt individuals. All you have to do is look at, just like it can take 2 years to get a knee surgery, and I was with a doctor last night from Canada, and yet they say people are happy with it until they need the health care.
Well, that's because most people are healthy.
That's right.
Because if you're a healthy person in Canada, single payer is just fine. You need a physical, you go in, you get your physical. If you're in a terrible car accident, they've got trauma units.
Sure.
But if you're anywhere in between, Jim, you know, you need a kidney transplant. You need a knee replacement or a hip replacement. You're in trouble.
Yeah, you are. And it's even longer waits if you go to England. And I was there a few weeks ago, and they were talking about it. So this system is not going to work for Americans who like to make their own decisions. We've got the best healthcare system in the world, and it was built on a doctor-patient relationship. And if we go to a government healthcare system, a lot of the technology we count on, the advances in medicine, are going to begin to go away.
We have only a few seconds left. If you had to recommend two books to some of our listeners out there that they should read to understand conservatism, what would they be?
Well, Milton Friedman's Free to Choose is a very simple kind of condensation of a lot of the things he'd written over the years. It just talks about people, when you make your own decisions, you're freer. And I actually would recommend, it's a book I wrote a few years ago, this little shameless self-promotion, but Saving Freedom is another attempt just to try to make the concepts of freedom versus socialism simpler to people. So those two I'd recommend.
Thanks for being on our show today, Jim.
John, thank you. Thanks to folks. Thank you all for all your listeners, and just staying informed and engaged. That's what it's going to take.
Talk Radio 570 KVI. KVI. What's happening? What's happening?